chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to kind of just keep on going with some of the themes that we've had about just seeking the Lord, but also now what that will bring in our life. And we looked at last week about how seeking God's face and how and finding an answer from God and knowing how to find God's answer and God's word for our life, how if we're all doing that, we're going to have unity because we'll be thinking the same thing and having the mind of Christ. Now, now this week I want to look at how our faith will be greater, how our faith will be greater. And there's more to it than that, but that's kind of the overall principle, I guess, that we're trying to see. And I hope the one that will apply. You know, when Ethan and I have talked a lot lately about Bible college and about the courses that are in Bible college and looking at what are we looking for the individual student to learn. You know, what is the overall point of this class? Not just to learn facts, not just to learn, you know, all these names, but what are we trying to learn and having a point to the class? And the same truth applies to many things in life, and I think especially preaching, to have a main focus, a main point to your message, so then that helps me stay on track, right? So that we're not just going all over the place. But I pray that the Lord will do that today. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and Lord, how it is so applicable in all that we do. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time together. And Lord, would you be with us as we study your word? And Lord, I pray that they would be your words and not mine. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to come away with a greater faith and an understanding of how to trust you more, Lord, with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see here about this race that we have in life. So in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So we see this race that of life, and this is what every Christian really has before him. We have this race set before us, and we need to run it. And so tonight I want to look at how to run life's race. And he starts that verse 1 about wherefore. And we know that the chapter before is Faith's Hall of Fame and all about how to be faithful and about men that were faithful with what they had been given. So I want to look back there in chapter 11. And it starts off right away with what faith is in verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see a very important fact about what faith is. We see that it's substantial. It has substance to it. It's not some kind of just wish for, hope for. I kind of wish that God is going to take care of me. I'm hoping that he'll take care of me. No, there's substance. There's evidence of things not seen. You see, it's not seen, yet it's full of substance and proof. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's important for us to not decide what we're going to do in life, about how we're going to follow God by what we can see. It's so important. It's so important. We're going to see that as we go through some more passages here. But we learned something else about faith in verse 2. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." And in verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what else do we learn about faith here? We learn that without it, we're not going to get a good report card from God. We can't please him. Without faith, it's impossible. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, it starts all the way at the beginning with salvation. You can't have salvation if you don't have faith. But it goes even more than that. we can't come to God ourselves at any time if we don't have faith. If we're coming up, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in seeking God's word for our life, if we don't have faith, if we're not coming to God in faith, he's not going to answer. He's not going to answer. It doesn't stop at, you don't get saved and all of a sudden you have enough faith for the rest of your life. It's not how it works. We have to keep on coming to God, believing that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, how do we get it? How do we get faith? I think it's a question that we've talked a lot about, and it's not a new thing for us to learn, but it's a good thing for us to remember. How can I get more faith? Is it just that my faith needs to keep on getting tried? I think there's part of that. Through the testing of our faith, our faith grows. But how do we get more faith? Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now in this passage, we are, again, going back to salvation and how we need faith for salvation. But starting in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, yes, this is in the context of salvation, but he gives a very blanket statement there about how faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith comes from us hearing the word of God and deciding that's the answer. That's what I'm going to put my trust in. I'm going to trust in what God says he is, or what God says he wants from me to do. And I'm going to take God at his word. That's what faith is. Simply taking God at his word. Yes, it does. There is a trial of faith. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we looking for what God says about our life? And just ready to put our trust that he said it? And that's the answer. That's where faith comes from. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 7, says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How do we get faith? What is faith? Well, it's the ability to trust God and his word in spite of what we see around us that seem to contradict, that seem to want to cause us to fear or to maybe even wonder if God cares. You see, all those things, those questions that we have or the things that we see that seem to contradict God's word, that gives us a choice on whether we're going to choose to believe God or we're going to choose to believe what we see. It's a choice. You see, faith is a choice. It's not some kind of magical feeling that you get more and more of. No, it's a choice that I'm going to choose to believe God over everything else around me. We have to choose to do what's right. I asked Zoe before church tonight I told her that she had a choice tonight. She could choose whether she's going to listen and obey and make good choices, or if she's just going to kind of misbehave. She says, I'm going to make a good choice. You know, we have that same choice every day. Am I going to trust God and have faith that he will do what he says he will do, or am I going to go with the flow of things around me and kind of let my surroundings make my decisions for me? Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look at some example. Well, pretty much one example. We could spend weeks, and I know a pastor went through this recently in the last year or so through Hebrews. So we're not going to go through them all, but we're going to go through the life of Abraham. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We see here some things about Abraham. And I want to go back into Genesis and look at the life of Abraham. We've been going through the Pentateuch in MBBI, and it's been a blessing to me to see yet again just the example that these men in the Bible are. And how they are real examples, because you see not only their successes, but also their failures. And how God still put Abraham here in the Faith Hall of Fame. You see, to be a great man of faith doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you have doubts. I think of how Abraham, when they went down into Egypt, and first of all, they shouldn't have been down there, but then also he says this his wife, oh, she's my sister, right? So that the people wouldn't try to kill him and take her. And when you study that, you find out that, well, she was his half-sister. So he went with the convenient truth, right? Instead of, just standing in faith. But yet, he's in the hall of faith. Our failures to trust God aren't just the whole sign of our life. We can't say, oh, I failed here. I'm just a failure for life. No, press on. Learn to have more faith. Learn from that. Learn how, in spite of your failure, the Lord still took care of Abraham. Say, in spite of my failures to trust God, God still takes care of me. But oh, the victory that's there when you do trust Him. And just the joy and praise that and seeing God work. But let's look in Genesis chapter 12. I want to go through some of these promises to God that God gave to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we see here the first time we see God speaking to Abraham. In verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We see him, the Lord make a promise and a covenant with Abram, and he says, first leave your father's house and your kindred and get out of here, right? And he says, I will show you that a land that I have for you. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you, and I will bless all families of the earth. Now, as you look at that, you might notice that it's kind of broad, right? There's not many specifics that are given here. And we know some of the promises, and we're going to look at some of them that he gives to Abraham, or Abram here as he's named, before his name changed, that God was going to give him more information. But right here, he just gives him a task to do without any specifics. And that really hit me, that there's many times that the Lord has a plan for us, and we understand, that God has told us to go do something, or God wants us to do something, but he doesn't give us much specifics. And our job isn't to figure it out, right? Here it says in verse 4, right after he was given these things to do, it says, so Abram departed. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. His only command here was to go. Leave your kindred, leave thy father's house, and get to a land that I will show thee. He didn't know where he was going. His first step was just to leave, right? Just to leave. And he did that. He did what he needed to do, what he knew to do, not trying to figure out all the details first. See, that's faith. So a lot of times we just want to know more, and we'll ask the Lord, just show me more, and then I'll do what you say I'm supposed to do. When the answer is no, do what I said to do, and then I'll tell you more. And we're going to see that as we go through these promises. But we need to do and take God at his word. Not figuring it out for myself, no, taking God at his word. Turn over to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 13. We see this story it's just finished with Abraham in Egypt. And then in verse 14, we see the next time that the Lord speaks to him here. 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Now I see a couple things. Also before this story was the story of the conflict between him and the shepherds, as well as Lot and their shepherds, right? The conflict that was going on. And through that, Lot goes toward the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then in Abram stays apart. Now, if you notice back in that first promise, God told Abram to leave thy kindred, to leave thy father's house. Now, it never says, and this is conjecture, but I think it brings out a good point, and we can prove it with other parts of the Bible. But God, he followed God's command, but he kind of brought something with him, right? He loved Lot. It was his nephew. His Abram's brother, Haran, had died, and Lot was there, and he said to leave thy father's house and thy kindred. And I think of note here in verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him." Now he was fully obeying God's word. Now Abraham can see the land that God had told him. You see, a lot of times we are searching for God's will, or searching for more of an answer from God, and want to trust his word, and we want to just step out by faith more, but we haven't done what he said before. We haven't fully obeyed God in what we know that we're supposed to do. We can see that in examples of Ai. They couldn't go forward until they dealt with the sin, right? Or what about the 40 years in the wilderness? They didn't have the faith to go in, so God had to separate the chaff, you might say, from the wheat before they could go in. And a new generation of those who were trusting, who were ready to obey, could go in. We have to make sure that we're doing what we know before we can really have the faith to go on and fully obey God's word. Turn now to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And so going back to that idea of running the race, you know, we said that was going to be kind of our map here. Well, he says there in Hebrews chapter 12, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, to run the race, you have to set all the weights aside so that we can keep on going forward, so that we can keep on running the race that God has given for us. In Genesis chapter 15, we see the next little section here of God's third promise to Abraham, or time of speaking to him. He says in 15, starting in verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So we see that Abram had trusted the Lord, and he had started to believe that it would just be, was it just going to be his servant? You know, a lot of time had gone by, and he says, I'm childless. I believe that you're going to make a great nation of me, and Eliezer, my servant, he can be my heir. You know, that was how that worked back in that day. But it says, and behold, in verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So we see here, he had started to wonder, you know, how the Lord's going to bring this about, how the Lord is going to use it. It hadn't said before that it would be of his seed. He just said that of thee would be a great nation. And he had started to kind of get a picture of maybe wondering of how that would be. So we see that we go into now chapter 16 of Genesis, and we see him, well, now he knows it's going to be of his seed. Well, maybe there's another way to kind of bring this to pass. And we see the story of Hagar and her handmaid, and they have a child together, and it's them really trying to bring about what they believe to be true, what they believe to be the best way to get to the end picture that Abram believes in. He has faith. He believes that God's going to do what he says he's going to do, but he's trying to work out kind of that the story to get there. And we see in chapter, going on to 17, in verse 15, we see God comes out and says, no, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be the way that I want it to be. Genesis chapter 17, and we'll go ahead and read in verse 15. It says, and God said unto Abraham, he's changed his name by this time, and as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael may live before thee. And we see that in 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. You see, Abraham had tried to do it himself. He believed, he trusted God, but his faith started to be that he had to work it out. And he had to work out what he knew he wanted to do, or what he knew God wanted to do, but he had to kind of put steps to that and do his own steps to make it work out. What was God teaching Abraham? To be patient and let the Lord do what he said he was going to do. To be patient. And that's that next step in Hebrews chapter 12, to run with patience the race that is set before us. It's good to trust, it's good to have faith and know that God wants to do it, but let's lay aside the sin. Let's lay aside the weights. Let's make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, and then let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Let God do what he said he was going to do and not try to work it out ourselves. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 13, he says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For verily men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You see, when we are truly trusting God, when we truly have the faith that God is looking for, that it's in his word and in his word alone and in the power of his might, we know it's going to be done. And it's going to take all the all the what would be a good word? All the pains and the ideas of just trying to figure it out and trying to make it work. When our faith is truly in God, there's going to just be peace because we know He's going to do what He said He would do. Just peace and joy, because that's what faith brings. Hebrews 10:36, for He says, "For ye have need of patience, that after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." It goes again to just do what you're supposed to do. Do what God showed you to do and just keep doing it until He does it. Because don't you think if God could show you that that was the path you're supposed to take, or this is the decision you're supposed to make, or whatever the case may be, that when it's time to make the next step that He'll show that to you? We can just have faith in doing what God said and wait for the next step. Do the will of God, and after that, ye might receive the promise. Genesis 18, and we don't need to go there, but God said that He had an appointed time for Isaac to be born. That time had already been set. Abraham didn't know when that time was, but it was set. And we need to have an idea, a vision, or a hope, seeing the end picture. And we talked a little bit about that in Psalm 27 a few weeks ago, about I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we see something about Abraham here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." God told him what to do, and you know what? He made a vision of what that was going to be, and he just looked for it. He waited. We saw the missteps. We saw some of, but overall, Abraham believed God, and he looked for God's plan to come to pass. Do we do that in our life? Do we see something from God's word? God impresses that on our heart, and can we start to see that? Have an idea of, wow, I'm just going to wait for God to do that. And wait, truly wait for it. I think of witnessing. If God says that He will bless our witnessing, if God says that throughout His word that He will work in people's hearts, that His word won't return vain, if we have a picture of that in our minds, wouldn't that change maybe how we witness? Wouldn't we be more active in it if we were by faith going out and telling people about Him? We talk about tithing, how we know that God's going to bless our finances and take care of us. You know, I'm not talking about a get-rich thing, but God will take care of us. God will provide. I know many of us believe that, and we do that. But how about if we take that principle of just knowing because He says it? That's faith. What if we applied that to more things in our life? He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, we see another example of his faith here in 17 through 19. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Abraham here was tested by God. He had, as it says right here, he had received the promises. He had received what God had promised. Well, what does it say in verse 19? He said, Abraham was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. See, by now, Abraham had decided, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to do what he says to do and let him take care of the rest. He didn't have to sit back and try to figure out how God was going to do it, or maybe try to take steps or do things in a certain way. No, he said, I'm just going to do what God said, and he can raise him up if he wants to. He had the faith. He had learned by now, I'm just going to do what I need to do and let God do the rest. He knew that all was going to be okay in the end because God had promised, by thy seed, by Sarah's seed, you are going to have a great nation come out. He knew it. He was just going to trust that. You know, what is this faith? What is it going to bring? Well, it brings about the ability and trials of life to say, as David said, let's turn over there actually, Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Psalm 57, let's just read verse 6 and 7. It says, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah." People are against him. He's going through trials, but what does he say? "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises." No matter what we're going through, no matter what we see around us, faith is what we can't see, right? Faith is believing God's word and what he has said. And my heart is going to be fixed on my God and his word. It isn't about what I see going on, but what I know he says. So let's go back one more time to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll finish up here. We saw that Abraham, he laid things aside. And when he did that, God showed him the next step of the race. He learned to run with patience. It says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But here's the, as Brother Burns said, the crux of it all. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. That's who our faith is in. It says he's the author. Why? Because he wrote his word. And what we know about God, what we know that he wants us to do, is all found here. He's the author of our faith. Because we trust in what he said, and what he wants us to do is found here in his word. But also, he's the finisher. Because we have to have patience and let him do the work that he says he is going to do. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Do we have faith? Take the principles of God and believe that they will apply to your life. If God shows you something from your word, you don't need to be ashamed of it. There's no reason to be, because it's God's word. Take it, run with it, believe in it, trust it. Don't shy away from it when you don't think it's working, when you don't think that anything's going right. If God says it, it's true, and it will end up okay, because he's also the finisher of our faith. John Piper said, "Faith begins with a backward look at the cross, but it lives with a forward look at the promises." A forward look at the promises, always keeping in mind what God says. If we have that kind of focus in life to just take God's promises and that's how I'm going to live, our faith is going to grow and grow and grow. We won't have to wonder, am I on the right path in this race? Am I running at the right speed? Am I making the right choices as far as how I'm running this race? No. Just set aside the things that maybe God already is showing us, the sins that are hindering us. Run with patience, wait for God to work, because he's the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes on him. And our faith will grow, and we're going to run the race, and God will be pleased because we're doing it with faith. And we'll have that good report. We can obtain a good report too. And while we might not be written in Hebrews 11, when we get to the end of that race, he can say and will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful.